Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
Beth Havers is here, a.k.a. Aunt Beth, a.k.a. Whiskey Beth. You go by many monikers. Which do you prefer, Beth?
You can call me any of them.
Okay. let me ask you about Whiskey Beth, because I hear, you know, your bona fides are pretty impressive. 20 years of experience in the spirits business. You've also had the opportunity to help create unique whiskeys, all while traveling the world educating people on her favorite spirit. What is your favorite spirit?
Whiskey.
Of course it's whiskey. It was a trick question. I wanted to start out with the lob balls. You know, if we really...
Could you imagine I was like, gin?
Well, exactly. I'd say you're a poser.
Drink.
Yeah, you're a fake fraud. Get rid of her. Bring in the real Beth Havers. So how did you get into the whiskey business?
I think the whiskey business, it actually happened just by accident. I was living in Scotland in the early 2000s and really got into drinking whiskey there, as you would. And then came back to Canada and started working within the industry. Initially, I was with Diageo, and then I moved over to Glenfiddich, and I was with Glenfiddich for almost about 10 years or so, and had a great opportunity there. And then during the pandemic, I started making cookies. I've always baked and cooked with whiskey, so it's kind of a natural thing for me to do. And as everyone was baking their sourdough, I was just making my recipes with a little special twist.
Whiskey cookies.
Whiskey cookies. Sorry. Honestly, they're very delicious. The whiskey just really helps add some depth of flavor and character to it. Helps bring moisture, and they're quite unique.
What whiskey do you use?
So we use a variety from single malts. We have a partnership with the Singleton, which is a beautiful single malt in Speyside. We also have a smoky single malt. So we make a cookie with Ardbeg. Then we have a Canadian whiskey cookie, of course, with Canadian Club. We also have another one that we're bringing out with Stock and Barrel. We use Jim Beam. I'm trying to think of all the brands now. Roe & Co. Irish whiskey, Jameson Irish whiskey. We use Jameson coffee whiskey.
You've got it covered. You know, it's interesting because you said you spent some time in Scotland, and I believe it's the law there. You've got to have a wee dram at least once a day before you go to bed or something, isn't it?
It really is good for your health. are the cookies.
Okay. But here's the thing, Beth. I've often wondered if, you know, this is a wine kind of question, but you're being in Scotland, Speyside. Can you draw a distinction between those whiskies on your palate very easily?
Yeah, especially with the Islay whiskies, because those are the ones that are traditionally peated, so they have like that smoky characteristic.
Right.
Then in the Highlands and in Speyside, you're going to get more floral notes, honeyed notes, that sort of thing. They're often more approachable. Lowland whiskies as well, quite approachable. But yeah, every region has its distinct flavor, which is quite unique.
How would you distinguish between, say, the Scottish, especially the single malts, and Irish whiskey, which I'm a big fan of, as well as Kentucky bourbon?
They can be, there's similarities within all of them, but Irish whiskey is quite soft, very approachable. It's a great gateway whiskey is what I call it. So it's got that those nice kind of soft approachability to it. Bourbon is sweeter because it's made predominantly of corn. They have a law there. It needs to be 51% corn. So those whiskeys often have a nice sweet kind of component to them. Scotch whiskeys, as I say, they can vary from region to region. And then here in Canada, we have a great whiskey community, and we have a great number of distilleries that are popping up, craft distilleries and that sort of thing. And our style of whiskey is somewhere kind of in between all of it, is what I like to say.
Right.
The best of everything.
Right. Different grains, I guess, right?
Yep. Different grains, just depending on what distillery. A large part of corn, rye as well.
What about the barrels now? Because obviously with modernization and technology, they're going to like different kettles, and whether they're metal or what have you. In the old days, and some places, I don't have to tell you, would import, say, the bourbon barrels from America, and they would use those as the casks in the Scottish whiskeys, wouldn't they?
Actually, everyone uses American oak barrels, like ex-bourbon barrels, because in their laws, bourbon has to be aged in a new barrel every single time. So they have an excess of these barrels, which are then shipped everywhere in the world because they still are giving off great flavor, because about 80% of the flavor and all of the color is derived from the oak in which it's aged. So bourbon barrels are responsible for about 90% of the barrels that are currently on the market. The rest are coming from the wine industry and fortified wine like sherry. But like you're seeing a lot of red wine casks happening now. You can use a wide variety, but bourbon barrels are the most common just because of sheer availability, and they're made of really nice oak.
They are, and sometimes you can taste the oak in the actual product, for sure. The other thing, I was very, very fascinated one time having listened to a talk from a spokesperson with Buffalo Trace in Kentucky, and the Pappy Van Winkle line, which is a real premium bourbon. But he was saying in the warehouse itself, or I guess in the distillery, the climate is different from one end of the building to the other, and it can alter the taste or the aging process for the distiller when they're sampling it and saying, we're going to keep this one on the shelf. It's going to 15 or 22 years or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
Is it that delicate a process?
Yeah, there's the thing with whiskey and whiskey aging, it's kind of half science, half magic, because what happens in that barrel is kind of up to the angels. They call it the angel share, that are flying, all the angels that are flying around pilfering whiskey from the barrels. But there's also, as it ages, especially in Kentucky, you lose alcohol when it ages. So you're losing your percentage of alcohol. It's going dissipating. In some with some casks, and in other casks, it actually elevates. They lose the water before they lose the alcohol. So every cask is completely unique, and it's totally up to that master blender to decide what the fortune and fate of that cask will be.
Yeah, it's real science, as I can see. And the cadre of younger people coming up, it's even becoming more scientific, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of technology now involved in whiskey making that was definitely not around, say, 100 years ago. But there's still, like, the passion and in the craft of distilling, I think, is really what rings true for everybody who's making whiskey. So I think you kind of have to have both the science and the passion for it.
Well, you're passionate about it, and you're an expert in the field, and you've used your knowledge of whiskey as well as your taste for it in your cooking.
Yeah. So basically, the flavor profiles that are in naturally occurring in whiskey really do help lend themselves to either baking or cooking. We also make a barbecue sauce that's absolutely delicious with Canadian whiskey. So there's definitely a whole wide range of things that you can make with whiskey. Certain products end up being a little bit better than the others, and those are the recipes that we've gone to, but we certainly have had a lot of failures along the way.
Well, it's trial and error.
Exactly.
Right?
Delicious failures, but they end up getting eaten no matter what.
There you go. I understand that impulse. Aunt Beth Bakes. Beth Havers, a.k.a. Aunt Beth, a.k.a. Whiskey Beth. Really a pleasure to have you join us this afternoon at the Riverdale Farm.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been really lovely chatting. I'll bring you over some cookies.
Can't hardly wait. Yeah, there you go. Everybody's hanging around for that. Very good. That's a promise. We'll see
Absolutely.
You. We'll see you shortly. The wind is a-howling as we continue on live from the Riverdale Farm. It's the Oakley Show on location.
Listen to the John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on Earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.